Hello and welcome to Grace Lutheran Church Sermon Podcasts. On this podcast, you will hear the latest sermons taken from our weekly worship service. Our hope is that you will find joy and comfort in knowing the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ.
Palm Sunday, Jesus rides into Jerusalem. Ever hear that one before? Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Wow, the crowds were ecstatic. But today is also called the Sunday of the Passion, because by the end of the week, the crowds are shouting, "Crucify him!" Have you ever wondered why the crowd changed its tune? The Bible doesn't explicitly tell us why, but we can make several intelligent guesses, I think. One reason may be that there were two largely different crowds. You had the Democrats and you had the Republicans. Wait, that's another story. The followers of Jesus and the political rabble-rousers who were hoping this was going to be a revolution that would oust the Romans from their land. Another reason was that the religious leaders, they undoubtedly stirred up the crowd to not lose control of the people, both religiously and politically. Much like today, religious leaders paid and planted people in the crowd to spread doubt and discontent. Today we call these influencers. You can get a degree in college now, influencing. "Hey Jesus, why didn't you cure my ill son? Hey Jesus, why were your disciples the only ones who saw you walk on water? Hey Jesus, if you are the Christ, come down from the cross." Jesus was stealing the political and religious power from the Jewish political swamp. When he rode into town, everyone was game to attack him. Jesus and his adoring crowds were threatening the cozy little churchly kingdom that the establishment had. So they planted their goons in the crowd. They may well paid the rabble-rousers. We know they paid off Judas Iscariot. The plant stirred up the crowd, "Crucify him." And the people, or at least the vocal ones, joined in and carried the day. They got what they wanted. Politics never changes, does it? The quest for power and control is everywhere, everything, all at once, all the time. And while I've thought about all that, here's what really troubles me: how easily people can be swayed. As easy as a snake in the garden simply planting a doubt about what God said about a fruit tree. In a matter of minutes or even seconds, Adam and Eve were swayed from the promise God gave them. And searching for something to eat or believe is always a question of hunger, both spiritual or physical, to appease a grumbling stomach or a grumbling conscience. "Yeah, I don't care what he said. I'm hungry and I'm going to eat that apple anyway, come what may." You'll always give in if it means you'll get what you want. Part of the reason for this, that people are so easily swayed, is biological. A part of our fallen, corrupt nature. While ethically and morally, our consciences somewhat know the difference between right and wrong and good and evil, our bodies do not. Our bodies act differently. Our bodies will do anything to avoid pain, suffering, depression, sadness. And when you try to escape these feelings or moods, you choose to do or follow things that supposedly give you pleasure. When your body feels the pleasure, it releases peptides or endorphins that keep you going back for more time after time. Your body's desire to avoid pain and depression has no idea of right and wrong. It's an animal instinct that keeps hitting the green button to get that food pellet. Your body sways your judgment. Your creatureliness sways your judgment to simply do whatever over and over again what might give it pleasure and release. Yes, the word endorphin comes from a combination of Greek words, meaning internal dreaming, morphine, Morpheus, to dream, to sleep. Internal morphine. Yes, that leads to addiction, doesn't it? Going back again and again and again. Your body clamors for your attention to things that will give you pleasure, tells you that you want it, leads you down paths of self-fulfillment for its namesake. It's the voice in the crowd that says, do it, do it, do it till you're satisfied, whatever it is, do it. You don't even have to think about it. You go back for more. Just follow, like a sheep. Psalm 103 says, we are the sheep of his pasture. Really? Sheep are easily swayed. They don't see very well. They're always hungry. They always want more. Israel was a nation of sheep. They followed Jesus if they thought he would give them what they wanted. Why should I think that I couldn't be easily swayed by the crowd? You'll follow anything or anyone who delivers, who gives the results you want or expect to get. Like sheep, you and I huddle together. We follow others who follow. Hey, if that makes George happy, I want it too. Hey, did you hear about how easy way to lose weight? Now, these things are all over TikTok, right? Drink 3 juices and you'll lose 20 pounds. Hey, did you hear about the easy way to lose weight? Take your foot, pull it over your head, and cough 3 times. Hey, if you're desperate, you're going to try it. When no one's looking. And if it feels good, you'll keep doing it. If you get enough people telling you they found something they loved, you feel the peer pressure, the crowds, the clamor of the crowds. You know what peer pressure is. Why should you think that you won't be swayed by the crowd and do something stupid or unhealthy or life-threatening? Everybody's doing it. They say it's good for you. All it took was dire poverty and hunger and depression and anxiety to lead a whole nation of sheep to follow a malevolent savior. His words became internal morphine and drugs that kept the sheep craved and high. His words were the words of Adolf Hitler. The body wants what the body wants, deliverance at any cost. You can be easily swayed from following Jesus, especially if you don't get what you want from him. If you don't feel God's delivering for you, you'll follow elsewhere, you'll search somewhere else. When Jesus didn't lead a revolution, people were angry. They looked elsewhere. In the history of the church today, and next Sunday as well, usually is the baptism of new believers or the confirmation. Lent was a period of 40 days of instruction, and then on Palm Sunday or Easter Sunday, they went to the river, were baptized, and then processed into the church for worship and their first communion. They were following. Confirmation is that church ceremony that carries on that instructional mandate to confirm your Christian faith. Yes, I'll follow you. Confirmation gives the new believer the opportunity to reaffirm the faith that was given to them when they were baptized. Confirmation is a great day when new sheep confirm their faith in their shepherd about whom they have been taught. But we know what can happen, don't we? The hosannas sung with joy in the procession on Confirmation Day fade under the footsteps of doubt and temptation as sheep walk through the real world, listening to the clamor of marketeers offering different shepherds and saviors to follow. Young people meet real life, and sadly, and in increasing number, they often depart from their baptismal faith. Perhaps you've heard the cries from the real world yourself. I've finally made it, member of the church. Now I don't have to go to church every Sunday. Suddenly that one Sunday becomes 2, then 3, then 4. See the endorphins kicking in? Then seasonal, As my old pastor would say, people attend church only to hatch them, match them, and dispatch them. The one-time shouts of hosannas morph into indifference. Indifference crucifies Jesus. It's not just young people. You and I can be induced into indifference. You can be swayed by strong influences. You can be persuaded by peer pressure. Remember Peter? Peter the adult, not Peter the kid. Peter in the courtyard of the high priest. He caved under peer pressure. The crowd can make us forget our Savior, deny him when it's convenient. Yet, though the crowd's clamor is tempting, there are people who quietly watch what's going on, and they listen, but whose faith in Christ wins out. Not 100% of the people gave in to the peer pressure and the crowds in the streets of Jerusalem on that day. One such person who quietly watched while others rambled on against Jesus was a man named Nicodemus. And John tells us, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and this man came to Jesus by night. Why did Jesus come by night? Because the crowds wouldn't accept it. Because he didn't want the religious things to see him and persecute him. They might crucify him on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. Nicodemus came and asked Jesus questions. The most memorable thing that Jesus told him was, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And that seems to have seeped down into Nicodemus's heart, made him feel like he never felt before, secure, saved. Neither was Joseph of Arimathea persuaded by the crowds. Listen to what John says happened after Jesus died. It says, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of that crowd. That's your peer pressure again. Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple, secretly feared the Jews, asked Pilate for the body of Christ. Pilate gave it to him. So he came, took away his body right by Jesus' side. You guessed it, Nicodemus is there. Years after coming to Jesus by night, he now comes bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes. So they took Jesus' body. Some scholars believe that the change from darkness to light, Nicodemus first went to Jesus in the dark, and now he has come for the body of Jesus in the light. Scholars believe that it's St. John's subtle way of saying that Nicodemus came to faith in Jesus. His faith in Christ was his lasting pleasure above all treasures. Here's my point. Nicodemus left behind the clamor of the crowds. He may have been in the crowd when Jesus rode into town. If Nicodemus wasn't there, he heard all about it. And when he talked to Jesus, he had big time questions. He wasn't swayed by the Hosanna crowd. And when the crowds clamored for Jesus' crucifixion, Nicodemus wasn't swayed. Nicodemus wasn't swayed because he was coming to understand why Jesus had come on Palm Sunday and what the Sunday of Passion was all about. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Nicodemus left the clamor of the crowds behind and became absorbed totally with Jesus. That's the way you and I must do as well. Leave the clamor behind. We're on our way not only to Good Friday, but to the eternal Easter. As Jesus says, because I live, you also will live. God is calling us to our true home, our heavenly home with him. Focus on that. Leave the clamor behind. Don't let your outlook be dominated by the Facebook crowd or the Twitter crowd or your neighbors. I'm not saying don't use it, just don't be dominated by it. Don't let that be your high in life. Don't let your outlook be dominated by social climbers in your personal life or by career climbers in your work life. Don't be swayed by the crowd's clamor for more money, better homes in the best subdivisions. It's just never going to be enough. Don't be swayed by all the deceits of striving for the perfect life here and now. Such noise is all around us. We can't shut it out. We can and should contrast all that noise to the truth that we know. And the reason that we're here, Jesus, our Savior, leave the clamor behind. If you want some motivation to follow Jesus and keep following Jesus, listen to Psalm 103 a little bit further. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made you and not you yourselves. He has made you who you are. You don't make yourself. You are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now, that's good sheep. Yes, you're a sheep, but you were created by God, who, even in the midst of your doubt, your desire, in the midst of the crowd, He calls to you, knows that you can be swayed, and calls to you, "Come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Don't put your leg behind your head and stretch it out as an easy way to lose weight. Don't listen to the charlatans. For this reason, God's Son steps into your shoes, is tempted, is crushed, is killed, and rises triumphant. Get high on His word, His body, His blood. Let His promise of forgiveness and eternal life be your redemption, be your endorphin. Leave behind the clamor of the pressuring crowds. Peter writes, "You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. If you're going to be a nation of sheep, and by nature we are, be a sheep in God's holy nation of redeemed, sanctified sheep for whom your shepherd died. Close out the deafening din of this world and follow only one shepherd who alone knows all your needs and has paid the price for you. Amen."
To know more about Jesus and our ministry at Grace Lutheran Church, please find us at www.gracealoneonline.org. You'll find additional sermon podcasts and your favorite podcast channel every week at www.gracealoneonline.org/sermons.